Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Systemair second quarter 2016 financial results call on the 30th of August 2016. Throughout today's recorded presentation, all participants will be in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty hearing the presentation, please press star zero on your telephone for operator assistance. Before we start, we would like to draw your attention to the fact that some of the information during this call contains projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events or the future financial performance of Systemair. You can identify forward-looking statements by terms such as expect, believe, anticipate, estimate, intent, will, could, may, or might, the negative of such terms or similar expressions. We wish to caution you that these statements are only predictions and that actual events or results may differ materially. We do not intend to update these statements to reflect events and circumstances occurring after today's date or to reflect the occurrence of unanticipated events. Many factors could cause the actual results to differ materially from those contained in our projections or forward-looking statements, including, among others, deteriorating economic and credit conditions, our competitive environment, risk associated with operating in Russia, rapid technological and market change in our industries, as well as many other risks, especially related to Systemair and its operations. I will now hand the conference over to Evgeny Chuikov. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone, to Systemair's second quarter 2016 results call. On the line with us today, we have Mikhail Shamanin, our President and CEO, Vsevolod Rozanov, Senior Vice President and CFO, and myself, Evgeny Chuikov, Head of Communications. Before we turn to the call, let me remind everyone that we have a presentation accompanying this call on our website, and you can find it at systemair.ru. And I will now turn over to Mikhail for his comments. Mikhail, over to you.
Thank you all for joining us today. On this call, I would like to provide an update on our progress in three key areas of Systemair strategic focus: growing the value of our portfolio, strengthening our financial position, and further improving efficiencies at the corporate center, and finally, increasing returns for our shareholders. In the second quarter, Systemair's consolidated revenue increased 8% year-on-year, driven by both new asset acquisitions and organic growth at our portfolio companies. In an environment where many businesses have been scaling back operations or leaving the market, 11 of Systemair's 13 key assets increased revenues year-on-year. Despite elevated competitive pressure, MTS continued to outperform its peers with revenue growth of 5%, mainly due to stronger retail sales and increased data traffic consumption in Russia and Ukraine. Mobile service revenues in MTS's core market of Russia have been sustained year-on-year versus declines for our major competitors. That being said, the company's operating income was impacted negatively by macro factors, weaker mobile service usage, and costs associated with expansion of the retail network. In June, we successfully monetized a minority stake in MTS, selling 1.45% of the company for $123 million. While MTS remains our strategic asset and we intend to maintain a controlling interest in the company, this transaction will contribute to further diversification of our portfolio and support our investment and deleveraging initiatives. During the quarter, our main growth drivers were once again our non-listed assets. With revenue growth of 7% year-on-year, they significantly improved OIBDA, which grew 121%, helping to sustain Systemair's OIBDA margin of 26% despite the subdued macro environment. The contribution of non-public assets to group's total OIBDA now is 15% compared to 7% in the second quarter of 2015. Our children's goods retailer, Detsky Mir, posted a 37% increase in revenues with 13% growth in like-for-like sales and twofold growth of e-commerce sales. The company's OIBDA is up 156% year-on-year, reflecting good cost discipline. Detsky Mir's strategy to grow its market share, in particular by displacing its key competitors, has proved highly successful. This year, the company plans to open at least 80 new stores, which will bring its total network to over 500 outlets. Our other major investment, pulp and paper holding Segezha, increased sales across its major product lines which on top of consolidation of a new wood processing plant in Siberia, brought its revenue growth to 28% year on year. As an export-driven business with clear cost advantages, Siegesa grew its OIBDA by 60% year on year. Siegesa continues to add capacity and gain market share in key products by implementing an extensive 40 billion capex program. Major investments are the modernization and construction of its pulp and paper, paper sack and plywood plants, as well as upgrades to logging equipment. Our agricultural holding STIP is gaining scale and rapidly being transformed into a notable contributor to group revenues and OIBDA with the support of assets acquired in late 2015 and the second quarter of 2016 in open field crop production, dairy, fruit, and vegetable production. Integration of the new businesses is going well, and we're seeing solid operational results across the agricultural holdings' major assets. This said, STIP's second quarter and 6 months performance still reflects strong seasonality of this business, with most of the revenue to be recognized in the second half of the year. Within our portfolio, we continue to work on the merger of SSTL telecom business in India with Reliance Communications. We expect to receive final approvals of the transaction from the Rajasthan and Mumbai court in September, and according to our schedule, we expect also a decision by the Supreme Court of India regarding conditions for SSTL's spectrum continuity to be made in October, and the final decision regarding approval for the transaction by the Department of Telecommunications in the fourth quarter this year. Coming to the corporate center, we ended the quarter with a strong cash position of 38.8 billion rubles, with 8.5 billion rubles on top of that in the form of deposits. During the second half of the year, we expect to receive more than 35 billion rubles in dividends and cash returns from our subsidiaries, which will further strengthen our financial position and investment resources. Our key areas of focus remain optimization of our liabilities and leverage, as well as controlling costs. During the second and third quarters of 2016, in line with our deleveraging plan, we repaid debt guaranteed by Sistema at SSTL. We also closed an agreement with the Russian government to restructure its option on SSTL shares, allowing us to acquire the Russian Federation's stake in the company over the course of 5 years with a very comfortable payment schedule and interest rate. In August, we exercised an early redemption of our more expensive bonds. As you can see on the slide 7 of our presentation, our deleveraging efforts, together with the appreciation of the ruble, resulted in the reduction of corporate center's total financial liabilities by 25% year to date. We plan to continue reducing our debt in 2016 and beyond. On the cost control side, our performance continues according to plan. In the first half of the year, the corporate center's SG&A were flat year on year, while during the second quarter, costs were down by 6% year on year. To summarize, we see that financial performance at our portfolio remains strong, while our cash generating capabilities and monetization track record have further strengthened year on year. Together with the reduced leverage and with costs remaining under control, this makes Sistema a much more stable company, which we hope will be reflected in the total shareholder return. Earlier this year, we approved a new dividend policy, which we believe improves transparency around our shareholder returns, while also creating a good basis for growth of the dividend. The policy provides that our minimum dividend per year will be the higher of 0.67 rubles per share, or a dividend yield of 4% based on the weighted average price of our local shares. It means that any growth in our market cap resulting both from external factors benefiting Sistema or our operational and strategic progress will translate into increased dividend payouts. This mechanism has already begun to work, as in August, our board of directors approved our first interim dividend in accordance with the new policy, totaling 3.7 billion rubles, calculated based on our weighted average share price for the first 6 months of the year. Finally, I would like to highlight that we continue to move towards strengthening the link between our shareholder return and management compensation. As you know, this year we adopted a new program for senior management to participate in the share capital of Sistema and group companies. The implementation of the program is going according to plan, as this summer our senior team invested over 280 million rubles of their personal wealth into Sistema shares. Going forward, our senior executives will continue to invest part of their total annual income into the stock, thus ensuring each of us makes the best decisions aimed at adding value and improving the market cap. I will now hand over the call to one of our fellow co-investors, our CFO, Vsevolod Rozenov, for the financial overview.
Thank you, Mikhail, and thank you all for joining us today. In the second quarter, Sistema delivered healthy performance as we continued to make good progress in developing our portfolio assets to market-leading businesses, both in terms of scale and efficiency. Our consolidated revenues increased by 8% year-on-year and 2.2% quarter-on-quarter to 177 billion rubles. The group's EBITDA increased by 7% year-on-year and 4% quarter-on-quarter. The EBITDA margin was to 26.1%, remaining substantially flat year-on-year and improving by 60 basis points quarter-on-quarter. I would like to reiterate that the sustainability of our EBITDA margins was very much driven by EBITDA of our non-public subsidiaries, which more than doubled year-on-year, reaching 7.1 billion rubles in the reporting quarter. The growth was particularly driven by robust growth at Detsky Mir and Segezha, as well as significant reduction in the EBITDA loss at MTS Bank. Consolidated sales, general and administrative expenses increased by 11% year-on-year to 38.4 billion rubles, reflecting higher SG&A at MTS and its retail network as its retail network continued to grow, as well as the expansion of Detsky Mir's business and consolidation of new assets. At the corporate center level, SG&A expenses remained well under control, contracting by 6% year-on-year to 1.8 billion rubles. Capital expenditures at the group level in the reporting quarter decreased by 24% year-on-year, largely as a result of budgeted capex decrease at MTS and almost zero capex at Detsky Mir, which invested heavily last year to develop its logistics infrastructure. Among other subsidiaries, I would like to highlight capex growth at Segezha, which is investing into upgrades and expansion of their production assets. Now let me discuss our debt and liquidity positions, where, as Mikhail mentioned, we are delivering well ahead of our optimization plan. The group's total debt decreased by 7% in the reporting quarter and by 13% during the first 6 months of the year to 886 billion rubles. The majority of the group's borrowing continues to be denominated in rubles, with the share of ruble loans at 63%. The corporate center debt decreased by 4% comparing to the end of the first quarter and by 9% during the first 6 months of the year to 106 billion rubles. The majority of the debt at the corporate level is public, with ruble bonds and euro bonds accounting for 62% of debt, while 38% is represented by bank loans and other borrowings. At the end of the second quarter, the share of dollar debt remained 37%, the same as in the previous quarter. In the reporting quarter, we finalized the restructuring of the put option on the SSTL shares issued by Sistema to the Russian state. According to the agreement signed with Rosimushchestvo, we will acquire Russian Federation stake in SSTL over the course of 5 years, with payments made to the budget as per the following proportions: 30% in 25% in 2017, and 15% in each of 2018, 19, and 2020. We have already paid 50% of the first installment in July, and the rest will be settled by the end of this year. This restructuring has significantly improved our financial position, since the majority of the liability, i.e. 70%, was reclassified from short-term to long-term. Corporate Center's total financial liabilities, including debt, put option liabilities, and payables to Rosimushchestvo for SSTL shares, declined by 25% year-to-date to approximately 151 billion rubles. This decline resulted from the prepayment of SSTL debt, the aforementioned payment to Rosimushchestvo, and the early redemption of our local bonds. Having paid the SSTL debt, the group cancelled all the respective guarantees of the corporate center, which is in line with our policy not to provide sureties against obligations of our subsidiaries. We are now confident that we will all deliver against our commitment to reduce the corporate center gross financial liabilities by at least 30% in 2016, as we plan to further reduce debt and optimize other liabilities. As of the end of the reporting quarter, our liquidity levels remain comfortable, as we had a cash position of 38.8 billion rubles, excluding an additional 8.5 billion rubles in deposits, which are expected to be monetized before the end of this year. Together with over 35 billion dividend cash returns to be received in the third and fourth quarters, this positions us well for further deleveraging, increasing payouts to shareholders and pursuing additional attractive M&A opportunities. As always, you can find more detailed information on our debt maturity profile, the group's financial results and breakdowns by individual companies in the presentation and press release published on our website. Thank you for your attention. I will now hand the call back to you.
Thank you, Cyrilis. Operator, we're now ready to answer questions.
Certainly. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. Our first question comes from Ivan Kim of VGB Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Two questions from my side. Firstly, is there any update on potential monetization of SG Trans stake? And secondly, do you plan to monetize your 1.7% stake in MTS, or you know, whatever it is, maybe in smaller portions, to go back to 50% shareholding? And maybe, you know, if no immediate plans, you can probably talk just generally how you see your shareholding in MTS evolving over time. Do you think that, you know, you don't require 50% exactly anymore? You can stay a controlling shareholder with less than 50% stake, maybe. Thank you.
Yes, thank you for your question. On SG Trans, we are in very final stages of this transaction. We cannot announce that we closed it yet, but we're very, very close. And if everything goes according to plan, you'll be able to hear from us very soon. On monetization of NTS stake, no decisions have been made so far. And also no decisions and no particular strategy on the rest of our holding in MTS. We're debating right now exactly what our strategy should be, and I think you'll hear from us more about this by the end of the year.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Alexander Vengernovich at Kritia. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Probably pretty much the same question on Detский мир. Can you please provide an update on what do you think regarding the IPO of the company? Do you think that now it's a good time in the market to place the shares? And how do you feel about the performance of Detский мир and what sort of a new plans you can share with us on the asset, because it's quite a sizable part of your value. Thank you.
Well, Detский мир, from our perspective, is performing exceptionally well. If you see the growth in both revenue and especially the EBITDA numbers, you see that it's very impressive. We believe that spring could be a very good option, a window for an IPO. And certainly, if the environment does not get much worse than it is right now, I think the IPO is likely. And I think if that is the case, we'll have an opportunity to monetize part of our holding in Detский мир with significant return. So far, we're pretty happy, and we are, you know, with our plan to do an IPO.
Okay, just a quick follow-up here. I mean, as the current market conditions are pretty healthy, can you please tell us, like, what's the reason why you think to postpone the placement from this autumn to spring? I mean, because the company is in pretty good shape, and even this autumn looks like really good timing for an IPO. I remember previously we were talking
because, about because it's the answer is very simple, because in autumn we're going to be selling on the basis of EBITDA of 2016. In spring we're going to be selling on the basis of planned EBITDA of 2017, which is going to be obviously higher than 2016 EBITDA. Therefore, we hope to get higher market cap and higher return.
Okay, good. Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Olga Bystrova of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening. A couple of questions on MTS Bank. I think you're saying in the press release and presentation about additional recapitalization and subscription is offered to Sistema Group companies. Can you sort of suggest what would be the magnitude of the offering and which subsidiaries will be participating? And also just to understand how long do you think you will be, I mean, how do you see this performance of this asset in general? How long do you expect to recapitalize it, because there have been quite a few in the past couple of years. Second question on Targin, the growth has declined quite a bit quarter. I mean, if you look at year-on-year growth in this asset, in revenues, the rates have declined compared to the first quarter. Can you talk a little bit about the strategy in this asset and the outlook? And finally, if we look at smaller assets, which I think we talk less and less about lately, such as Metsi, Binafarm, Intourist, maybe even Utility. What is your medium to long-term strategy in those assets? Are you planning to looking to more likely dispose them, or are you actually trying to come up with some more sensible strategy in, for growth? Thank you.
Your first question was... was on MTS Bank. Yes, MTS Bank, we have not yet determined the size of recapitalization, and thus we have not announced those numbers, but the intention clearly is, even if this recapitalization will have to take place in 2016, it will be the last recapitalization of MTS Bank. We are not planning to recapitalize any further. MTS Bank now has a decent management team, a decent strategy, and decent current performance. MTS Bank right now, if you exclude former provisions and issues with the mostly corporate bad loans such as Transaira and a number of others, it is profitable, and its retail business is developing very actively in conjunction with MTS, and a few of the new products that we recently launched has proven to be extremely successful, especially the debit card and the credit card tied to MTS account, which provides customers with the free mobile service on the condition of a certain amount of card usage. I'm sorry. There are some other aspects like some of the and some of the real estate opportunities we're looking at for recapitalization purposes that may reduce cash outflow. But in any case, it's not going to be a significant amount for Sistema if recapitalization is to take place in 2016. So we believe that MTS Bank, the worst is in the past, and it's actually moving on an upward trajectory right now. For Targin, Targin is still performing very well. We expect EBITDA of Targin to be above, well, let's say between 4.5 to 5 billion rubles this year. There is a slight, of course, decline in Targin's EBITDA due to overall situation in the oil market, because obviously oil price and decline in exploration influences oil services business across the market. And Targin is actually one of the best performers that is suffering less from that than many others, but it is in no way undermines the kind of overall Targin strategy, and we're still very certain that this company will continue to grow. The medium-term strategy for smaller assets like Binafarm, Intourist, and other, there is no single combined strategy. Each asset has a strategy of its own. You take Binafarm, it's a small asset, that nevertheless generates positive EBITDA this year. It will be above, let's say, between 300 and 400 million rubles. It is not taking money from Sistema. It has now a strong management team, which we recently replaced. We were able to attract a number of highly experienced and qualified individuals in both the R&D and the marketing area. And BioPharm is now working on actively working on development of its own product portfolio. You know, we believe if a strategy goes planned, we'll be able to multiply several times fold the value of this asset. So at this point, it doesn't really make sense to sell because there are no adequate buyers for adequate price. It doesn't take money from Sistema, so we're developing it organically. In tourist and the hotel business, we are looking at a number of opportunities in hotel area. Russia is lacking quality hotels. Increase in domestic tourism drives demand. And we believe that there are a few opportunities on the hotel market that we can potentially pursue. We have not made any acquisition decisions yet, but we are looking at a number of strategies respectively. So basically, for every asset, we have a strategy of its own. Of course, we have assets like Sigeja, agriculture, Targin, and others, which are growing quite rapidly and are relatively large. And other assets are growing slower, but we're not looking to immediately dispose of any of them. Also including Mitsi, which, yes, is performing slower than expected, but we still believe that there is huge potential in this asset, which is yet to be realized.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, to ask a question at this time, please press star 1. We will now take the follow-up question from Olga Bystrova of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Sorry, I don't mean to take air space, just since there are no questions. Can you also talk a little bit about the real estate? You've mentioned couple of numbers on revenues and maybe your potential return from that business now, and if you could maybe elaborate what happened in the second quarter, and also update us on the progress on Zeal project, and in general, how should we think about it this year and maybe next year? And the same questions about, agriculture also. I think last time you mentioned some indications on where you would expect EBITDA to come. Are you still happy with those numbers, or you can maybe update them a little bit after the second quarter? Thank you.
Yeah, on real estate, it's actually quite simple. We have two assets, a leader investment business and vision with. Each of them we expect to generate around ₸1 billion kind of net result for Sistema. And both assets have strategies, both assets have opportunities to grow, but right now we're looking at them as sort of cash cows that translating the real estate that they required from MGTS into cash by redeveloping partially and redeveloping and re-renting in the part of business divisions. So far we are pretty happy with our cash investments in this area, and we still we do have an upside which we're not disclosing the development project, but we're kind of working on it. As far as I think your second question was about Zeal, is it right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, so that's correct. And also, you said it's a cash cow. Can you hint on what kind of dividends you're receiving from real estate at the moment?
Well, that's what I said. We are planning to receive around ₸1 billion from each.
It's not revenues, it's the dividends. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, it's either dividends or return of loans that we've given them, but we also kind of consider those loan returns as dividends because some of those loans we intended to give them as capital injection, but they were just given in the form of loans. So you can call it dividends. For Zeal, there is not much to say. We entered into this project with a partner. There are still a number of additional partners who would like to invest. We're negotiating. We are planning to limit our cash exposure. I think I was giving you numbers around 1.5, 1.7 billion rubles. That's probably the extent of our participation as Sistema. And you know, we'll see how this project shapes up when you know, when we get there. So far, our investment in this has been around 500 million rubles. And your third question was for Agra. Agra, we maintain around 3.5 billion as an OIBDA forecast, with going up to around 5 billion next year, if everything goes according to plan.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Igor Goncharov of BCS Financial Group. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much for the opportunity. I just wanted to ask to clarify the situation with the investment program and leverage at Segezha. You mentioned that you are in the process of 40 billion rubles investment program. First question is, how far through are you? How far are you? What part of the project is already completed, and what part is remaining? And secondly, taking into account that the leverage of this asset is visibly increasing, what level of leverage you consider acceptable for this asset? Thank you.
Yeah, the acceptable leverage level is no more than 3x EBITDA, and the timing for this leverage is no more than 1 year. So basically, in our plan, we expect leverage going up to 3x EBITDA and staying there at 1 year max. And we spaced out our 40 billion program in such a way that, of course, it's sort of first, I think, it's 12 billion rubles. Then it's another 15 billion rubles, and then it's the rest. And the first 12 are clearly designed for the projects that give sort of 1.5 or 2 years payback, so a very kind of quick turnaround. So we start receiving cash from those investments to fuel other investments and decrease debt to EBITDA ratio back to 1 to 1.5 maximum in 2 years. That's kind of the plan.
Yeah, thank you very much. And what part is already invested, roughly?
I don't have those numbers right.
Less than 2/3 of this. So we are still in the process of leveraging.
Okay, thank you.
This year, I think the amount is going to be around 7 billion rubles.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have no further questions. Please continue with any further points you wish to raise.
Thank you. We'll now finish this call. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. Have a very good day.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.